We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Lord, you are a God that comes through. We walk by faith and not by sight. We thank you, Lord. You're the God of the mountaintop. You're the God of the valley. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what's happening in this three-dimensional world, there is another dimension. It's the supernatural. And Father, you are at work in that realm. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, come on, everybody said, amen. Welcome to Wave Church. How you doing? Can we welcome all of our online guests all over the world? Can we welcome all of our Wave Church family? Come on, seriously now. I know right here in Virginia, I know in many different states across the United States and even around the world. And we're so glad that you're very much a part of our online. You're very much part of our church as everybody is here in person. Praise the Lord. Are you doing good? We've been doing this series called Unmasking David. If you're watching online, we've been doing this series called Unmasking David. We want to talk about that person and the person of the Bible. And often David, the story of David gets brought down to just David killing a giant. And that's a great story, but it's not the whole story. So we've been talking a lot about it. Today, I want to talk to you about the dangers of denial. So we're going to pray. Because, you know, for to actually break denial, something's got to lift off, the veil's got to lift off our eyes. There's got to be a lifting of our heart. There's got to be a new sense of hearing. Because when you're in denial, you're in denial. So how do you know when you're in denial? When you're in denial, because you're in denial. You with me here? So I'm just really believing today that through the Word of God, we're going to see some things change in Jesus' name. Amen? Are you ready for it? Can we pray together? Everybody? Now, everybody in the auditorium, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. Everybody watching wherever you are, I'm going to ask you just for a moment, everybody, just close your eyes and just lift your hands. Father, we come around your Word today, and I pray that we hear the Word of the Lord. I pray, Father, that in light of hearing the Word of God, we see ourselves. And I just believe, Father, that you'll give us ears to hear what it is that you want to say to us individually and as a body of believers. And everybody said, amen. Now, if you came with somebody that's part of your bubble, your community, why don't you give them a high five? If not, just give them a social distant high five. Praise the Lord. Part of your bubble. Aren't the singers and musicians fantastic? They do such a great job. Okay, so we're going to get started. So here we go. First week, we talked about in Unmasking David, we talked about the years of waiting from when Samuel came to say, David, you'll be the future king, to when David became the king of Israel. And a lot of challenges. He ran as a mercenary. He ran a protection racket. He slayed Goliath. He was an anointed musician and singer. He was running for his life from King Saul. And we talked a lot about that. Then we talked about don't settle in Ziglag. And of course, in homiletics back in 1983, when I was taught the art of preaching and communicating, I was taught that every sermon that you ever preach had better have a pregnant sentence. You better be able to say what it is that you want to say in the whatever it is you want to say to be able to reduce it down to one sentence. So here's the pregnant sentence for that week was God's, when before God's best comes to you, close substitutes will tempt you to settle for pretty good. Before God's best comes to you, close substitutes will tempt you to settle for pretty good. You can talk about that if you're single looking for a partner. Before God's best comes to you, close substitutes will tempt you to settle for pretty good rather than that person that God has. You can talk about it in business. You can talk about it in life. You can talk about it in terms of what it is that God's called you to do. And then the week three, we talked about David as king. We talked a lot about how that David, we talked about really the sin of Bathsheba and the sin of murder and of adultery. But what led to that was some pride in David's life of him thinking he was, you know, he had accomplished all these things and now he wanted to build God a house. And God was saying, David, check yourself. I did all this through you. Sometimes we have to be careful we don't think like that. this church is blessed to have me. Look what I've done and look how successful I've become. The truth is, anything we've done is because the Lord has blessed us to do it, and we should always give Him the glory. That was last week. Today, I want to continue this series, and next Sunday we'll finish it. I want to talk about the dangers of denial. And today's subject is not David. Today's subject is Saul. And I want to talk about what gave rise to David's kingship was the previous king, King Saul. And without a doubt, Saul was picked, but we know Saul was picked by man. God did not want Israel to have a king. God wanted to be their God. But people said, we want a king like everybody else. So it wasn't God's choice, it was man's choice for Saul. When Samuel came and anointed him with oil, the Bible says it was a flask of oil. A flask is something that was man-made. But when Samuel came and anointed David, it says it was a horn from an animal's horn, and that was man-made. So Saul was man's choice, man-made flask of oil. David, horn of oil, God-made, God's choice. You with me here? So God gave the people what they wanted. And by the way, God's ultimate judgment on a Christian is to give them what they want. Because you might want this, thinking that would be the be all and end all, but God may want that. Are you hearing me? So we got to be so careful. Why did God reject Saul and put David and choose David? We talked a lot about David. Next week, we're going to talk about his parenting skills and some more dynamics of his relationships dealing with people. But it was actually Saul's denial. Do you know Saul had a denali? He was in denial. That was supposed to be funny. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Okay, let's go there together. Everybody there? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you over the people of Israel. So now listen to the message from the Lord. If you had a prophet come and say, you're going to become king, and you become king, you'd listen to him. Okay, so now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now, I want to give this context to you now. Okay, listen. The Amalekites wanted to wipe out the Israelites. They wanted to kill every man, every woman, and every child. You with me here? And so God now wants to see to it that the Amalekites never do that again. This is back in the Bronze Era. You with me here? And so Saul is the king. God said, all right, you're going to have a king. You want, you chose Saul. We'll make Saul your king. So Saul, bring national identity, bring together the people of Israel. You be their representation. And Saul, to that regard, did a good job. But listen now. He says, this is Samuel, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did. He goes, now go and attack the Amalekites. Listen to what God says, and totally destroy them. Everybody say totally. And everything that belongs to them, do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, donkeys, and camels. Can everybody see this? Okay. So Saul, the Bible says, let's read on verse 12, attacked the Amalekites all the way from Shur back to the border of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and the lambs, and everything was good. Early in the morning, Samuel got up to meet Saul, but he was told that Saul had gone down the Carmel, and there Saul had set up a monument in his own honor and turned and had gone down the Gilgal. So when Samuel reached him, imagine now, Saul said, the Lord blessed you. I carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, watch, what then? Is the bleating of sheep I hear with my ears? What is the lowing of cattle I hear? Then Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Anybody was starting to wonder what was all that noise going on there for a minute? I think we probably freaked out our online audience a little bit there. I've had several people actually tell me they were all distressed about it. Can you understand the problem with that story? What did Samuel say? Spare nobody. What did Saul do? Saul went, no, those sheep are too good. No, those calves, they're too... No, we'll spare the king of Agag, but that's not what the Lord told him to do. Come on. And then you want to talk about denial? Samuel comes up and says, Saul. And Saul goes, I did everything the Lord told me to do. And Samuel goes, what's the sound of the sheep bleating? You were trying to hide from me what you didn't, what you were told to do. And at the same time, you're telling me you did everything you were told to do. That's called denial. I wonder what sheep are bleeding in our lives that actually we think we've done what the Lord has asked us to do, but there's sheep right behind us bleating and cattle that are lowing, and we're in denial even though the sheep are there. I just wonder, I know people who literally were in denial about their health and wouldn't go and talk to a doctor and died because the doctor said, had you come when you first got this, we could have dealt with it back there. But that denial cost them their very life. In terms of marriages, people can be in denial, but the sheep are bleating. And I'm just praying today, God lifts the deafness of our ears so we can hear the reality of what is bleeding and what the cattle are lowing, so we would not be living in denial, because Saul was in denial. He said, I've done everything the Lord's told me to do. I know people who financially got themselves in so much trouble because had they worked with their finances way back then, it would have been a lot less complicated than today. I wonder in terms of marriages and if we're in denial about what's going on. And here is Saul, and he really believed it. And listen to what he said. He goes, I did obey the Lord. So here's the first thought about denial. Number one, don't interpret obey. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Come on, everybody. Don't interpret obey. See, Saul actually went, well, I thought you, man. I know you said, but you know, my interpretation of that was, well, surely the... And by the way, God demands to be first. Never mess with God. Let me tell you something. Everybody online, the very fact that you're giving God, and everybody here, the very fact that you're in church this morning, you're giving God the first day of the week. And what you do with the first redeems the rest. And God demands to be first. God's not playing with this. Amen. This is the first battle, Saul. This is your first instruction as the king of Israel. This is what you're to do. Spare no one. Wipe them all out. The first belongs to me. It's all there. And Saul says, no, I'll keep this. I'll keep that. Surely the Lord doesn't mean all this. And I just want to say to everybody here today, when it comes to denial, one of the things we got to do is don't interpret what God's word says. Obey it. Can anybody say amen? I think you should give God some praise. I think that's a good thought. Look where it goes on. And it says, but Samuel said to him, because now he's ticked off. Samuel is like, you didn't do it. You interpret it and you didn't obey. And you're in denial. I hear the sheep bleating. So Samuel says, the Lord's done with you. And Saul's going, Samuel, please make me look like I'm still going to be the king. I know you've told me that I've sinned. I know you told me I interpreted. I know you told me God's mad with me. I know you told me the Lord's rejected me. But can you and I just keep that as a secret? And it says, but Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You've rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord has rejected you as king of Israel. And as Samuel turned to leave, Saul, the king, took hold of the hem of his robe and tore it. And Samuel said, the Lord has turned the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one that is better than you. Look what we read on. Now watch this. Number two. Number say, don't interpret, obey. Come on, everybody say, don't interpret, obey. Church, that's terrible. Everybody say, don't interpret, obey. That's the very first lesson in life. If you want to break denial, don't say, well, I thought you meant. You actually do what the Lord told you to do. Here's the second thing. There's a big difference between looking good and being good. Because look what happens here. It says, Saul replied in verse 30, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so I may worship the Lord your God. Here is Saul going, okay, the Lord's rejected me. Okay, I didn't do what he said. But can we just keep this as a bit of a secret between you and me? And can I just get a little bit more mileage of looking like the king? Would you honor me by allowing me to walk with you? You see, he was more interested in looking good than he was being good. He said, yeah, I've sinned. I disobeyed the Lord. I didn't do what he told me to do. But can we keep that? Can we delay this? And so denial will often lead into trying to delay consequences, try to push back things, try to get, and here is Saul. He's more interested in the prophet walking beside him and making him look good, even though what he knows he did was wrong and sinful to the point of God rejecting him as king. But I want to milk this for as long as I can. I'm going to push back the inevitable. Can everybody see it? And I want to say one of the problems with denial is we will live a life more interested in giving off a perception than the reality. Come on, somebody. We rather give off an image that everything's good than actually deal with what we're dealing with here. And of course, you know, Saul said, I've sinned. God has left me, but make it look like everything's okay. Here's the third for it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Look at 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams. Look at Samuel. But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned to me, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. Friends, if that is not denial, I don't know what is. Can you see it? This is interpreting rather than obeying. This is, and that's why the Bible says, this is that great phrase, obedience is better than sacrifice. Parents, when you're teaching your kids to put out the trash, I mean, what would you rather than put out the trash or them to actually, you know, kill a fatted calf and make an offering for their sin of a disobedience? Well, it depends. If it's a lamb, I suppose it might be all right nowadays. That was supposed to be funny right there. What would you rather? Oh, mom, oh, dad, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Or would you rather they just put out the trash? Come on, obedience is better than sacrifice. It don't interpret obey in the name of Jesus. This is what gave to rise to the kingship of David was Saul living in such denial. Listen, Saul was the very first king of Israel. He was a weak, he was a carnal man. He created, if you like, the nation of Israel. He gave national identity and monarchical structure and order for the people. But the problem is the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And Saul's downfall was a spiritual and emotional weakness. He was in bondage to his emotions. He was a great leader, and then he was a bad leader. He was bold, and then he was proud. He was double-minded, and then he was decisive. He was unstable, and then all of a sudden he's stable. Can you hear this now? I wonder what sheep are bleating in our lives that we can't hear. And we can be in denial. When you preach a message like this, I'm telling you, I'm sitting there going, God, talk to me. What is there in my life that I'm actually in denial over? Come on, somebody. What is it that I need to know? Because I've got to tell you, here is what gave rise to the leadership of King David. And God would rather deal with David's weaknesses than he did Saul's. Saul built a monument to himself. Are you hearing me? And he stood before the prophet and Saul said, I've done everything the Lord's told me to do. And he really believed he did. And yet it's obvious to you and I as we read it in hindsight the man is in denial. And there's dangers of denial. It could cost you your life. It could cost you your spiritual vision. It could cost you your marriage. It could cost you your health. It could cost you your finances. When we live in denial and sheep are bleeding and cattle are lowing. But the problem is the prophet heard it, but he didn't even see that as being something that was sinful. Can anybody say amen? But here's the point I really want to get to. It's my last point. When you're in denial, you become deceptive. Did you hear it? And not only do you become deceptive, but actually, not only do you become deceptive, but you are deceived. You with me here? You are vulnerable to deception. And you actually end up practicing deception. And you end up actually becoming deceptive. You can get weird in the supernatural. Here is Saul, and here's the story of right before he died. Let's fast forward now. Saul's lived his life as king, and David is not yet anointed as king. Yet the prophet said, one that is better than you will come. And from the very first war that Saul ever fought, God said, I've rejected you. You didn't do what I told you to do. And Saul said, I'd rather look good than be good. Samuel, honor me, make it look like, and that day will come. But now here's the day. I'm about to read to you the night before Saul died. Are you ready for this? This is years of Saul fighting. This is years of Saul chasing David. This is years of Saul living a paranoid, demented, tormented, afflicted life. This is years of Saul's instability and denial. This is Saul just trying to make this go longer than any, you know, as long as he could. And now Saul's about to go to battle and he's praying, Lord, are you with me? And the Lord won't answer him. There are no prophets. Samuel is dead. I'm trying to give you context. You with me here? Samuel's dead and buried. And so here is Saul, and let's break into the story. The Philistines, it says, assembled and came up to at the camp of Shunem. And Saul gathered all of Israel and came up at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid and terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Then Saul said to one of his attendants, find me a woman who is a medium, who's a witch, who's a psychic, a fortune teller, the horoscope writers, so I may go and inquire of her. See, when you are so used to being led by supernatural godly means and those things are gone, you actually end up getting weird in the supernatural. Well, there is one person in Endor who is a medium. So Saul disguised himself. Now, you know why Saul disguised himself? He knew that if she knew who he was, she would never do what he asked. Because Saul's the one that banned mediums. Because under Samuel being the prophet, Samuel told the Saul, get rid of all the psychics, get rid of all the fortune tellers. They're not of God. Are you hearing me? And I know today I still upset people when I preach about it. But if you think it's okay to go see a psychic, my friend, you are deceived and you are in denial. The Bible says they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You do not open yourself up to supernatural things such as that when it's ungodly and the Bible says don't do it. Well, it's okay. My friend, do not interpret, obey. We are led by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it was just a little bit of fun. We just had a little seance. It was just a little bit of Ouija. It was just a little bit of, you know, fantasy. My friends, you are playing with fire. And here is Saul, and Saul has to disguise himself to so that she wouldn't know it was the king. And let me read to you the story. Let me just go for a minute. And so Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went with him, and he said, consult, call up a spirit for me, and bring up the one that I name. And look what it says here. This woman, it's the witch of Endor. If you don't know your Bible story, this is that story. And so she calls him up. Samuel's dead. And Samuel comes up through this medium. And Samuel says through the medium, why are you calling on me? now that the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy. The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and has given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey, watch, the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. Can you see it? Here is Samuel. Saul, do you not remember what you didn't do? And I want to tell you, you can live your life in denial for years and never see a change. And it says, today the Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hand of the Philistines. And here's Samuel, who's called up from the witch of Endor, and says, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Well, where's Samuel? He's dead. This is the prophet through a medium saying, you're dying tomorrow. And the Lord is not with you because you didn't obey what God told you to do. Can anybody see it? And he says he will give Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And my prayer today in preaching this word is that we would actually see denial for what it is. Because when we're in denial, we actually become deceptive. Saul had to disguise himself. We have to make it look like we're someone we're not. Are you hearing me? When we're in denial, we actually are open to supernatural demonic things. Okay, it's very quiet in here. I was just in my own quiet time, just listening in the book of Acts this morning and thinking about in the book of Acts, all these people actually got together all their images of gold and silver and they gave it all to God and dealt with it and got it out of their lives. And sometimes we look at things in our homes even today and we're going, it's harmless. We're in denial. We're to have no false idols. We're to have nothing else. We're to worship the Lord our God, and Him only shall we worship. And sometimes we can minimize things and we can popularize things that have become secularly acceptable. We can call what's wrong right and we can be in denial. Okay, let me tell you something. If God's word says it's wrong, then it is wrong. And I don't want to go close to that in Jesus' name. People are asking about drugs and marijuana, and they go, is it okay? You know, just a little bit of weed. Okay, the Bible says don't do it. That word pharmakia, it actually comes from the word sorcery. Now, there are drugs that God put on the earth for our healing, but if you're doing drugs to escape reality, my friend, you're in denial. Okay, we're going to keep tiptoeing through the tulips here. Because I want to tell you, we got to be people who have the courage to actually deal with what God's word says and have the courage to obey. I don't care if it's Republican or a Democrat. I don't care if it's blue or red. I don't care if it's politically incorrect to talk about it. I just don't want to be somebody who's living in denial. I want to have the confidence and the courage to obey the word of God, and right is right and wrong is wrong. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Well, it's harmless. It's just a little white lie. It's denial. And we actually become deceptive when we live in denial. And we have to spend so much more energy trying to give an impression of something we're not when we know what's really going on. So my prayer today, this is my prayer. And the reason why I did that recording is for me as well. That when we walk out of here, and we're confronted with the things that maybe have got us blind to something that we've been, that God's not happy with, that we might hear the sheep bleating. That when we look at it and we hear it, all of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden we hear the sheep bleating. Oh, this is that thing. Amen? Come on, somebody. I don't know maybe what it is. I mean, let me give you some things. Well, let's just talk about maybe just the whole idea of just giving and tithing. Well, I don't need to do that. But maybe when we're on the internet and we're looking at something we shouldn't be looking at and we've told ourselves it's okay. I'm praying today. But maybe today we're actually justifying in our own mind something that we're thinking that is counterproductive to God's plan and God's best for our life. That all of a sudden we're going to hear this noise. And that's my prayer today, that what is the sound of the bleating sheep that I hear? that might bring us out of our denial and into the fullness of all that God has for us, and be free of that in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to give God some praise. That's a good word. Amen. Where maybe you just kind of think, well, look what I've done. Look how successful I've become. Look what I've done for God. Look what I've, you know, all of a sudden we hear, bah. Well, we don't think we know more than God. Come on, well, we don't become like David. That the sin that David did that led to Bathsheba was David going, look at the house I built. Look at the king I am. Look at the wars I fought. And now me, out of my greatness, I'm going to build God a house. And God says, hey, David, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Come on, somebody. And that ultimately what was God was saying to David leading up to that great story that we read about. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about David as a dad. And let me tell you, David was a lot of great things. One thing he wasn't great at was being a dad. We're going to look at some of the things that we can learn as parents. Can I say this to you? And as grandparents, I want to look at, if you haven't noticed, by the way, I've taken you through the life of David. I've taken from David 16 years of age right up until actually David's last 10 years of his life. And we next week going to look at David on his deathbed, dealing with things because he was in denial himself and didn't deal with things when he should have, that actually came back to bite him on his deathbed. And rather than just being a man in his final moments of life, he's having to be like the mafia don, and he's trying to deal with things that he never dealt with. And he even had his own son Solomon deal with things that he never dealt with. And I pray today that we don't pass on to the next generation things that we should have dealt with, in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me? You don't want to miss next week. You don't want to miss next week. It's going to be a great, we're going to look at a lot of different things, a lot of different people in David's life. Praise the Lord. Have you enjoyed the series? Is it helping anybody? So look at me, because I said last week that actually one of the things I want to do with all that's going on in COVID, and we, you know, you can't be in denial. We're dealing with a different day in the church world. Are you hearing me? This is one of the greatest gifts to pastors in the world, COVID. I don't mean COVID's a gift, you understand? But one of the things that pastors who are so caught up with their numbers that exaggerate their numbers, there's no pastor able to exaggerate anything today in today's reality. Are you hearing me? Some of you don't understand quite what I'm saying, but if you've got a leadership head, you'll understand what I'm saying. But I want to say this to you. Look at me. One of the things I want to do, and I want to make sure we do as a church, is we don't back off in our soul winning. And we've been so busy trying to figure out how to deal with all that church life and all that we're dealing with church life, and all the campuses and all the regulations and all the states and all the local nuances and all of the, you know, CDC and everything that's involved with just making sure we're complicit and compliant. And frankly, as a church, I want to do more than that. I want to make sure that we're upping that, in Jesus' name. But more than anything else, I want to see people get saved like never before. I don't want this to slow down our momentum. So just this week, I had breakfast with a businessman in our church, and he says, Pastor, I've been praying about just some extra finances that I have in my heart that I want to see to it, that have you got a burden to take technology and use technology and online for evangelism? Because on last Sunday, you talked about it. And he goes, what is there that I can do to help the church be more effective in technological outreach online? I said, well, I'm so glad you asked, because I talked with Josh Kicker and he told me how much more money it's going to cost to really make sure that we increase our online interaction. And we actually had the equipment that we need to make sure that we can communicate in a more meaningful way than we already do. But it's going to cost a whole lot of money. He goes, Pastor, I'm in. I've been praying about this. Thank God for people who actually pray about the church. How can I, rather than go, look what the Lord has done through me, is look what the Lord has done to me. Now, what can I give back to the Lord? That's the kind of person that's going to see God do something great in their life. But it's my great prayer this morning, already as I'm speaking, two people have already made a decision to put their faith in Jesus. That's as I'm talking to you right now. And I want to make sure as a church, in the last service, in the 9 a.m. service, I know there was like eight people people that gave their life to Christ before I finished giving the appeal for people to give their life to Jesus last. And I'm believing if that's true of the 9, how much more should we believe here for our 11? Let's keep going. And then in person, right here, I'm believing there are people here this morning, and it's not by chance, it's not by coincidence you're here this morning, but God had a plan and a purpose for you being here. Come on, church, can you say amen? And we got to be so careful as Christians that we don't just make church about us right now, but we got to be thinking about not just us getting to church, but who can we bring to church? Who can we get to watch online? Who else can we see that can come into the kingdom? And we don't just stop everything that we're called to do just because COVID's happening. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just accept what we have. I don't want to accept for, well, this is just what we have with COVID. No. I want to make sure in the name of Jesus we keep going. Amen. No. God, help us if we just settle. Well, near enough is good enough. Well, that's okay. No. Heaven is real. God is real. Jesus is real. The blood of Jesus still cleanses us and removes the stain of sin, and hell is real, and the Bible is alive, and we got to keep preaching the gospel, and we got to keep telling the truth, and I don't care what anybody says, we shall not be quiet. We will not back down. You can try and stop us. You can try and hinder us. But we will be the church that God has called us to be. Come on, somebody. I'm in a little bit of denial right now. I'm not even supposed to be standing on my foot. I'm supposed to be sitting on a stool. This is too passionate to me. My friend, do you know Jesus? Can I pray for you? Not do you believe in God. Believing in God doesn't get you to heaven. Are you hearing me? None of you been a good person, because there's no good person here. The Bible says we're all sinned. Who can say amen to that? We've all missed God. You know what sin is? Sin is simply missing the mark. It's an archer. And when he shoots an arrow, and if he missed the bullseye, they would say, oh, you sinned. And it wouldn't be some super condemning, negative connotation. You just missed the mark. That's what you did. You missed the mark. We've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. God is holy. You and I are not. Amen. God is sovereign and God is our creator. We did not create ourselves. We were made in the image and the likeness of God. Amen. We will live for eternity. The question is where? And I want to pray for you this morning. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I don't know if I'm right with God. It's not about being good. Are you hearing me? And I talked about the difference between looking good and being good. But I want to talk to you today. It's a relationship with Jesus. Can I pray for you? Already 4 people have made decisions online. And I'm about to close this service. I'm going to give it back to Josh. But before I do, I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't know God as you speak. Oh, Steve, I'm not right with God. I need to get right with Jesus. Maybe you once prayed a prayer, but you know today you're not living from like you once were. All over this building, I'm going to ask everybody just for a minute to close your eyes and bow your heads. Come on, let's all do it. Everybody, right now. And friend, if that is you, and you say, Steve, pray for me. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, just one thing. Listen to me now. Do not tune off. Everybody online, just do one thing. Just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. By doing that, you're saying, Pastor, pray for me. Including that prayer, I want to get right with God. I want to make my peace with God. If you're online, you click that. I'm making a decision right now. Come on, quickly, if that's you, lift your hand. God bless you up there. Who else? God bless you right there. Who else would just lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. God bless you right there. Who else will lift your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Include me in that prayer. God bless you right there. Hands are being raised. God bless you right there. There's another hand. I'm looking around this wonderful auditorium, spread out, people socially distancing. I'm looking for anybody else. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. There are many hands. hands being raised. Is there anyone else? This is my last call. Friend, if you know you need to get right with God, you know you need to connect with God, would you lift your hand right now? I just want to pray for you right where you're seated in the name of Jesus. Everybody online, come on, there's others here who are watching online. You need to click that button right here, right now. I'm making a decision to put my faith in Jesus. Sir, thank you. I see that hand as well. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for the many people who lifted their hands? Amen. Come on, give them. Don't just clap. Come on, don't just clap. Let's give God some praise. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. I talked to a friend of mine this week. His father passed away of COVID-19. His father was a pastor. He's a pastor. He pastors in Alabama. And he told me this story about his dad, how his dad, listen to it, was rehabbing a drug rehabilitation center. And he kept saying to his dad, "Dad, slow down, you're elderly." And he goes, "No, no, son, you don't understand. I've still got energy in me. I still got determination in me." He goes, "Dad, I'm begging you, slow down." And his father, unfortunately, got COVID. And yesterday was the funeral. And I said, "You know, your dad reminds me of my dad." He goes, "How's that?" I said, "My dad died with his boots on. And your dad died with his boots on." Do you know what he told me? He says, "Steve, that gave me my message. I'm speaking at the funeral." And he took his father's work boots to the funeral and stuck them on top of the coffin and said, "My dad died with his boots on." Can I tell you, my friends, look at me. We will spend a whole lot more time in eternity than we will ever spend here on planet Earth. We will spend a whole lot more time in eternity than we were. And we get all caught up with earth life. And the church is here to get people ready for heaven. Say this prayer, everybody. Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.